Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
How do I read 250 books a year? How do you keep remote team members on Skype engaged during your remote meetings? Welcome to the Friday wrap-up show, everyone. And I'm going to answer those questions in just a minute. But first, I want to talk to you. Not all of you, just you. Yeah, you, one-on-one. Thanks for listening to the show. Time is our most important asset, so your gift of time, I don't take it for granted. And congrats for being a listener. You know that you have to be the CEO of your own career. You want to achieve your full potential. Not everybody does. One of our guests, you know, she said about half the people out there are transformers. They want to transform their life. I was shocked that it was 50%. It seems to me like only about 10% of the people out there care about improving themselves in some way. And you are one of them. You want to achieve your full potential. You want to get a little bit better every single day. You know the robots are coming to take your job and you're going to do something about it. But why haven't I heard from you? I mean, literally, I don't feel loved. You don't write. You don't call. I am super accessible these days because this show hasn't blown up yet. I'm anonymous. This is like a baby show. So I'm serious. Send me an email. I'm at kevin@leadx.org. That's my email. Or send me a tweet. I'm at Cruz, K-R-U-S-E. Hey, you on Snapchat? I've got a real micro community that's very active on Snapchat. Kevin Author is my Snapchat handle. And let me know, what do you like about the show? What's your least favorite part of the show? What would it take to make the show 10 times better? Like, think big and bold. Tell me, do you like these crazy Friday shows when I'm just ranting solo? Or you're like, you know, sit down, monkey boy, bring the guests on. We don't care what you think. I really want to know. And I do respond to everybody. You know, I'm forgetting her name right now, but I got some hate mail. Doesn't happen often. It wasn't hate mail. It was someone who said she tried to listen to a show, but she didn't like it because after 5 minutes, we didn't get to the point, and so she shut it off. And at first, of course, I got defensive because I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, like it's only a 20-minute long show. This is a short format show and we have great guests. We've got value bombs. We've got challenge of the day. And you're complaining because, you know, we didn't give you something valuable within 5 minutes. My gosh. But once I got over that, you know, we all get defensive and then we should get over it. You know, I really took the feedback as a gift and I thought about, wow, I mean, we are in a short attention span time. We need to get to the point. We need to offer huge value bombs quickly. And so I actually decided I've now started adding a career tip of the day, you know, a career advice, job advice of the day in the very first minute of the show. Now, you haven't heard it yet because I'm recording episodes now that don't air for almost 2 months from now, actually. That's our backlog. But literally, this one short email from somebody telling me how she didn't like the show because the first 5 minutes didn't have value in them changed the format of the show. And hopefully for the better, but we'll find out. It's not all hate mail. I got, an email just like 3 days ago from Chrissy. And she was telling me like the three great books that changed her life. And one of them, she mentioned my book, 15 Secrets Successful People Know About Time Management. And so I emailed her back and said, hey, thanks. It's nice to know, you know, one of my books made your list. And then she emailed me back and said that she didn't even realize I was the author. She was recommending my own book to me, which was hilarious. And she wrote, that book was a life changer for my ADHD mind. And I've heard that comment a lot. I must be really drawn to your work. I'm very grateful to you and all you do. And then Caroline emailed me the day after my birthday. Her birthday was May 3rd, fellow Taurus. Shout out to all the Tauruses out there. And she said, thank you for teaching me at age 34 how to master my emails and tasks. It changed my life. So I love that. That's music to any author's ears. So again, reach out to me, Kevin at leadx.org. How can I make this show a daily, not to be missed show for you. And of course, here comes the favor. Here's my ask. Look, I already know you told all your friends about the LeadX show because that's what friends do for each other, right? You're a good friend. But now I want you to reach out to strangers. Stranger danger. I don't know how you do it. I'm serious. Tell strangers about the show. Listen, all you young single men out there, or old single men. I mean, after all, I'm 50 and technically single, so guess age doesn't matter. Stop using those cheesy pickup lines and, you know, drop the LeadX show on somebody. Just walk up to someone who looks interesting and smart and just say, hey, what'd you think of today's episode? And then when they look at you all confused, get alpha dog and say, what? You don't listen to the LeadX show? Hey, it's the smartest way to start your day. And then, of course, grab their smartphone and find that purple icon marked podcast and search on the LeadX show and click it so that now they can listen to the podcast show. And hopefully, you know, you'll fall in love and be happily married and forever after or whatever your gig is. And hey, ladies, it ain't all about the male players. If you want to be a player slayer, say, you know, some dude walks up to you annoying you at the club, just say, hey, I'm sorry, I'm only interested in guys who listen to the LeadX show. Then when they act all offended, you let them know LeadX will help you to stand out and get ahead. And then steal his iPhone, subscribe to him, and then like toss it into the crowd so he has to go find his phone and leave you alone. Yeah, that's my advice because I'm such an expert at, you know, picking up people in clubs and bars. I have never, this is true, I've never walked up to a stranger in a bar or anywhere else. I am totally shy and awkward and just could never do that. I was interviewing Patty Azzarello. The episode hasn't aired yet. She wrote a book called Move, and she was like the original, she is like the original Sheryl Sandberg or Marissa Mayer. She's like a tech executive, brilliant, you know, IT person. And I interviewed her, and she said that I'm a massively expressive introvert. And, you know, so it's true, I am an introvert, but I guess I just try to vary the tone of my voice and my vocals to try to be a little more interesting for the show or something. I thought that was funny. And I just read, I think it was in the New York Times, I don't know, Chris Rock, comedian Chris Rock, he's got a bunch of brothers, including brothers who are trying to make it in comedy. Who knew, right? And they were interviewed and they said that their brother, Chris Rock, is totally different when he's not on stage. They said that he basically doesn't speak, like he doesn't talk. He'll be out with friends, he'll be out with family, and he just sits there and listens to everybody and doesn't talk. And that's kind of me, you know, unless I'm doing a keynote or interviewing somebody for the show, I pretty much just don't talk. I'm just kind of a hermit. So anyway, all of this reader feedback and stuff, or listener feedback, reminds me I need to do the iTunes review of the week. This one is from Oscar Views. I always wonder where these handles come from. Is it like the Oscars, or is this person's name Oscar? Anyway, Oscar Views left a review on iTunes that said, I always bring the wisdom and tools directly from the podcast to my office because they're ready to be implemented right away. Please don't ever leave the podcast world. You are invaluable. Well, Oscar Views, you had me at invaluable. And in fact, you so had me at invaluable, I am going to send you a LeadX t-shirt. Just email me your snail mail address. I'm at kevin@leadx.org, of course. So one of the questions I got was this from Adam. He says, in one of your podcasts, you mentioned that you read 250 books a year. How do you read this many books in a year? What's your strategy? All right, Adam, here's the deal. I actually read more than 250 a year, I think, because, you know, I'm interviewing 4 people a week, every week of the year for the show. So, you know, I'm reading well over 200 books, business related, you know, nonfiction books, just for the show. And I gotta be honest, I have interest far beyond like leadership and management. I'm always reading other business books, and I try to get a little bit of fiction in. I don't get a lot of fiction in, but in the summer times I do, airplane rides, I try to get some fiction in, summer, whatever. So I'm guessing I read closer to 300 or more books a year. And like anything, look, it's tactics and then strategy or mindset. And everybody wants to know the tactics. It's really the mindset that's more important. But let's get the tactics out of the way. I do read fast. So if I'm not reading for just pure pleasure, I try to read fast. And I haven't officially taken a speed reading course. I encourage everybody to go out and do it. But I use a lot of those same techniques. So, you know, I'll use my finger or a pen and kind of like swipe quickly across the lines. It sort of draws my eyes very quickly and keeps me at a fast pace scanning the words. And, you know, like you can skip the first few words of every sentence and the last few words at the beginning and end of a sentence. Those are usually filler words. And so by reading quickly and kind of just glossing over the first few words of each sentence, you can move probably 2 to 3 times faster than you're used to reading just at your normal pace. But here's the big thing. It's not necessarily about just reading every word faster. It's about your mindset. So to me, look, if I'm reading for entertainment, if I'm reading fiction, I slow down. I read, you know, every word. I enjoy the writing. I enjoy the style. I don't want to miss anything. If I'm reading poetry, not that often, but I'll read very slowly because I often don't get it, or I'm trying to make sure I'm picking up on symbolism or imagery or whatever. But when I'm reading nonfiction, I'm not reading for entertainment. I'm reading for ideas. I'm reading for understanding, comprehension. So this is the number one secret to reading a book a day. The definition of reading a book is getting the author's main ideas out of the book. Give yourself permission not to read every word in the book. And if you're like, Cruz, you're cheating. Like, that's cheating. You're not reading a book a day. Well, you know, think about that, what you just said, that belief, that mindset. Like, I don't care. I'm not claiming to read a book a day to try to impress anybody. I just mentioned that I have a book and I read it and get the main ideas out of it. And whether I've read every word or every page or whatever, doesn't matter to me. Like, again, this is do what works for you. And so when you have the mindset that you're reading for comprehension of the ideas, it gives yourself permission not to read every word. And so how do you quickly pick up the ideas? And first of all, let me say that traditionally published books are filled with just filler, padding. They're bloated. How do I know this? Well, the very first traditionally published book I wrote for Josie Bass, my editor told me, really boring topic I won't even mention. He's like, it has to be like 400 pages. And I said, oh, no. I said, I can say what I need to say. I can make these points in like 200 pages. He said, well, no, that doesn't matter. He says, I want to charge $45 for the book, and the book has to be thick. It has to feel heavy in people's hands in order for them to think that it's worth $45. I'm not making this up. This is what my editor told me. So they wanted a heavy, thick book to justify the pricing. And this is the dirty secret of the traditional publishing thing. You know, when they have to have high-priced books, because if the book is at the Barnes & Noble for $40, the publisher only gets $20. And it's not just printing, but it's distribution and tracking and marketing, blah, blah, blah. So they want thick books because readers, stupidly, instead of saying, what is the value of the idea in this book, they are looking at a little book and saying, well, that little book is only worth $5. This thick book is worth $40. Personally, because I know time is money, time is more valuable than money, I would pay more for a thin book. I would pay more for the effective summary because I want the value in less time, but most readers don't think that way. Now, this just happened. So if you'll remember, like a couple weeks ago, I signed a deal with another traditional publisher. So I've got to do another leadership book and it's going to come out in 2018. Same thing. So my book proposal originally, I said 40,000 words. I wanted to get away with a slightly smaller book because I think readers in general, you know, they don't have time. They want to get value out of a thinner book. So I thought smaller book, smaller price. First comment back on the proposal is, we need this proposal. We need your book to be 55,000 words or more. They want it to feel like a traditional book. So what do authors do to, you know, they could explain their idea in a 20-minute TED Talk, but now they need to fill 300 pages of print. Well, you fill it with lots of stories, lots of examples, lots of research. You make the same point 3 different ways. And there's nothing wrong with that. And look, for readers out there, if you're reading for enjoyment, that's great. But if you're reading for comprehension, there's all kinds of filler content you don't need to read. So How do you read a book for the ideas? Again, most nonfiction books, the first chapter, the introduction, is going to be a summary of the book. Like literally, my editors again tell me, oh, we want an introduction where you explain what you're going to tell everybody in the book. So it's like a summary. The last chapter of a book is a summary. They're going to be the first and last chapters. If you read those two things, you're going to get the big idea and the supporting ideas just from those two chapters. Go then to the table of contents. That's basically the book outline. Read the chapter titles. Those are probably going to be the supporting ideas. If you want to dig deeper than that, go to each chapter, read the first paragraph, the last paragraph. Again, these are your summaries of the chapter, and then skim the headings in between. You could literally read a book in less than an hour and absolutely get all of the author's intended points, the lessons. Here's an example. Literally, I just pulled this. I've got a John Maxwell book, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. Now, Maxwell is probably the top dog in leadership. People love him. And to me, good stuff. Love it that he beats the drum of leadership. But it's kind of this, you know, he writes books that are entertaining, not to be helpful in the least amount of time. I just opened up to chapter 7, The Law of Respect. That's what the chapter is called. And there's right underneath that, it says, people naturally follow leaders stronger than themselves. Okay, so we know Maxwell believes that one of the laws of leadership is that you need to, you know, get people's respect to be a leader, and that people will follow leaders who they respect. So this is a key point. Now, if I look at the chapter, and this is, you know, my point, he tells a story about Harriet Tubman. For many pages, he's talking about Harriet Tubman. Then he makes the point that if on a scale of 1 to 10, if you're a number 8 in leadership, you want to follow a person who's number 10, higher than you. You won't respect someone who's a 6, who's lower than you. So he's once again making the point he made right at the top of the chapter, people follow leaders stronger than themselves. Well, he talks about it with this 1 to 10 scale. And then he's got a bunch of pictures of people at varying numbers. Like he's got boxes with the numbers 1, 2, and 3, and they respect 4s and 5s, and the 5s and 7s follow the 8 and 9s, and the 8 and 9s follow the 10s. And he's got a diagram of this. Well, I didn't need that diagram to understand his point. And then he's talking about sports and, you know, Coach John Wooden. And he tells a John Wooden story. And then he says, here's 6 ways to get respect. Now that catches my eye. Okay, then I'm going to learn, how do I get respect? But there's subheads. I can scan the subheads. 1, natural leadership ability. 2, respect for others. 3, courage. 4, success. 5, loyalty. 6, value added to others. Now, if I had the time, I would read all the pages of content that he's got explaining these 6 ways to build respect. But I don't really need to. I got what he's talking about, you know, from those subheads. And then he's telling more stories. He's telling coach stories, basketball stories. You know, at the end, after telling more stories, now he's got a summary where he's talking about applying it to your life. And he repeats what I just said. Look at the qualities: leadership ability, respect, courage, success, loyalty, value to others. He says it a second time, 5 pages later. So look, this is a fun read. Like if I've got nothing to do on a Sunday, or I'm on vacation, or I really want to understand this idea of respect, I'm going to sit down and read it word for word. But if I value my minutes, my 1,440 minutes a day, and I'm trying to get ideas quickly and efficiently, I can get this point about the law of respect in about 2 or 3 minutes. So that's an example of how I'm reading so many books a day. When I'm reading for fun, I read them cover to cover, and I'm a fast reader. I like to read. If I'm reading nonfiction, then, you know, I'm gonna pick up the key points and then interview the author and move on. Second question I'm answering this week before we wrap things up. It is Rasmus from Denmark. Love it, getting email from around the world. How do you keep remote team members on Skype engaged? He says he gets that, you know, Skype is helpful to get teams together, But he's saying they just feel more present when they're all in the room and they're not all like there when he has them on Skype. So again, people are looking for tactics. So I'll talk about that, but it's really more a bigger picture strategic thing that you need to do. Look, tactically, when you've got you're running your team meetings on Skype, use video, not just audio, if at all possible, so you can see them and they can see you. Eye contact works on Skype. Look, you say, yeah, I can't do it, bandwidth problems, whatever. Fine, even if it's audio only, don't have them mute. Now, usually people are like, oh, background noise, we don't want to hear your dog barking or whatever. So everybody go on mute. The problem with that, especially if you can't see them, it's just audio, is you can't really hear if they're talking to someone, if they're taking phone calls, if they're typing on their keyboard. And people know that. So it's like if you say, hey, you know, let's all not mute our lines, then, you know, you can kind of hear if people are not, if they're multitasking. The other tactic, of course, is you need to call on people. The more often you call on people out of order, the more they have to pay attention and be ready. You know, they don't want to be called out and be like, what? I don't know what you're just saying. But again, the big idea here is it's not just about the tactics. You know, why is it that you're not running a meeting that is so fascinating, so valuable, you know, that they would be tuning out or doing anything differently? And this means whether you are running your meeting on Skype or in person, it's the same thing. You know, when I was young and dumb, I remembered like presenting to my whole company all of our P&L. And I was a visionary because I was doing open book management. I was transparent and everybody fell asleep. And I asked my friend who was very smart, great facilitator, great trainer, Mike Feldstein. Haven't talked to Mike in years if he's out there. And Mike said, Kevin, you know, that was your meeting. It wasn't our meeting. And even though we actually do care about P&L, you've got to let us do the work, not you. And I really then flipped it around. So in my case with that meeting, yeah, we were still covering the content that I felt we needed to cover, but I broke them into teams and had this two-person team present on revenue and this three-person team, they got the P&L, but then had to present on expenses. And then I would ask everybody, you know, all the different little teams, I'm like, all right, what's our single greatest expense? What expense went up the highest month over month? What are we spending on office supplies? Are we over budget, under budget? By what percent? And so basically I got the content out and delivered and anchored better than me lecturing. And they were doing all of that. So whatever your topic is, you need to think about, you know, if it's a weekly status meeting, most of those need to be canceled. If the meeting can be replaced by a group spreadsheet or a group task list, don't hold that meeting. So why aren't people, you know, that's the big mindset. Why don't you have everybody's undivided attention? Why aren't people dying to get to your meetings, you know, and to participate? Maybe you don't need the meeting. Maybe you're covering the wrong topics, or maybe you are doing all the work and you need to find a way for them to make it their meeting. That is it in a nutshell. Boy, what a great week of interviews we had. Next week, come back on Monday, tie your shoes and turn on LeadX before you go on your morning jog, because we're getting big time, folks. I'm talking to Joel Peterson, who's the chairman of JetBlue Airlines. You think you can learn a thing or two about management and success from the chairman of JetBlue Airlines? And what about this? Right after Joel Peterson, I got Hiram Smith. Now, you millennials might not know the name. Hiram Smith is like one of the biggest names in professional development, especially in the area of productivity. He was like the co-founder of the Franklin Day Planner and the Franklin Quest Company, which turned into the Franklin Covey Company. I mean, he has a ton of experience and great advice about productivity. We talk about whether he's using paper or digital and some other things. It was a really, really fun interview. And we also have Ben Parr, who's one of Forbes' 30 Under 30 list, talking about how to capture attention with what he calls captivology. So next week is a must listen. Definitely come back next week. Until Monday, my friends, enjoy your family time, enjoy your downtime. Remember, it's great to rest, recover, recharge. And remember that leadership is influence. How are you going to lead your kids this weekend? How are you going to influence your kids? How are you going to influence your spouse or significant other? I don't mean like in a Machiavellian way. I mean, in a positive way. How are you going to provide leadership to your relationships? Enjoy the weekend and lead with intent.